No, I'm not. But I can't give you 2 weeks anyway. I need something by tomorrow at the latest.
What are you, nuts?
You said you were better than me, and I could have done it in a day. So a night should be good enough for you.
What is that? Psychology? You took motivation classes up at West Point?
Reacher kept his hand on his gun and his eyes on the kitchen door. He asked, "Did you catch your guy yet?"
"No. Can't you tell?"
"Where are you looking?"
"All the airports, plus boats on the Gulf Coast between Corpus Christi and New Orleans."
"He's in a motel a little ways north of Austin, almost certainly Georgetown, almost certainly the second motel north of the bus depot."
"What? He's wearing a secret ankle bracelet I don't know about?"
"No. He's scared and alone. He needs help. Can't get it any place except the overseas folks he's in bed with. But he's waiting to call them. They'll help him if he's clean. They'll ditch him if he's compromised. Maybe they'll even kill him. He knows that. A fugitive from the law? That's okay with them. A political fugitive? Not so much. They'd worry about us tracking him all the way home. Wherever home is. So he needs to know the news. He needs a media market that covers Fort Hood's business. If it stays a plain vanilla domestic homicide, he'll make the call. If it doesn't, he'll end up putting his gun in his mouth."
"We haven't released the background."
"Then he'll take a day or two to be sure, and then he'll call them."
"But he could have gone anywhere for that. Waco, Dallas, Abilene even."
"No, he made a careful choice. Abilene is too far and too small, and Waco and Dallas are too patriotic. He thinks that TV and radio there might sit on the espionage angle. What is he, 4th Infantry? Audiences in Waco and Dallas don't want to hear about a 4th Infantry captain going bad. He knows that. But Austin is much more liberal, and it's the state capital, so the news stations are a little looser. He needs the real skinny, and he knows that Austin is where he's going to get it."
"You said Georgetown."
"He's afraid of the actual city. Too many cops. Too much going on. He didn't drive, did he? Too afraid of cops on the highway. His car is still on the post, right?"
"Yes, it is."
"So he took the bus from Hood and stopped short. Georgetown is right there. Close to Austin, but not too close. He watched out the window all the way in, one motel after another. He mapped them in his head. He got out at the depot and walked back the way he came. Didn't want unfamiliar territory. Didn't want to walk too far either, too exposed, too vulnerable. But even so, he didn't like the place nearest the depot. It felt too obvious. So he picked the second place. He's there right now, in his room with the chain on, watching all the local channels." The voice didn't answer. Reacher said, "Wait one." He laid the phone gently on the table and got up. Checked the kitchen, checked the library. Nothing doing. He checked the parlor. Janet Salter was still on her feet, rock solid, deep in the shadows. Nothing to see on the street. No one coming. Reacher went back to the hallway and sat down again in the chair and picked up the phone. The voice asked,
"Anything else?"
"Not that it matters," but he sat in the front third of the bus.
"You're full of shit."
"It was a kind of camouflage. He didn't want to give himself away as a fugitive. He thinks bad boys sit him back. He's a 4th Infantry captain, probably a straight-laced kind of a guy. He remembers his school bus. The greaser sat him back. He didn't."
No answer.
"Georgetown," Reacher said. "Second motel north of the bus depot. Check it out." No answer. Reacher asked, "Where are your nearest people?"
"I have people at Hood."
"So send them down. It's about 50 miles. What can it cost you?" No answer. Reacher said, "And don't forget, I need my information by tomorrow."
He hung up.
He put the chair back where it was supposed to be, and stepped across the hallway and into the parlor. He checked the window. Nothing to see. No one coming. 5 to 10 in the evening. 30 hours to go. Chapter 20. The clock ticked on. Reacher took every completed minute to be a small victory. A prison riot could not last forever. Its initial phase would be relatively short. Hostages would be taken, territory would be seized, a standoff would ensue. Tactical adjustments would be made. The corrections officers would regroup, the cops would be released from duty. Reacher knew that. Therefore, the guy knew that, too. Reacher didn't understand why he didn't come. His target was an old woman in a house. What was he waiting for? At 10:30, Janet Salter volunteered to make coffee. Reacher wouldn't let her. Maybe that was what the guy was waiting for. The percolator needed water. Water came from the faucet. The faucet was over the sink was under the window. A preoccupied gray head, 2 feet the other side of the glass, might be a tempting target. So he made the coffee himself, after a duly cautious inspection of the vicinity. An unnecessary inspection, as it turned out. He stepped out the back door without coat, gloves, or hat. The cold hit him like a fist. It was raging. It was searching. It stunned him. Way below zero. Too far below to even guess at a number. He stepped back in. Nobody was waiting out there for a target of opportunity. Impossible. After a minute, you would be shaking too hard to see, let alone shoot. After an hour, you would be in a coma. After 2, you would be dead. Which thoughts clarified things a little. There would be no long, stealthy approach on foot through the snow. The danger would come from the front. The guy would have to drive up, jump out, and move fast. So after the percolator finished gulping and hissing, Reacher poured 2 mugs and carried them back to the parlor, where he told Janet Salter they would take turns at the window, 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off, all through the next hour. The next hour passed slowly. No one approached the house. The world outside was dead, deep frozen. Nothing was moving except the wind. It was blowing steadily out of the west. It was scouring powder into small, stunted drifts and exposing ridges of ice that glittered blue in the moonlight. A spectral, elemental scene. Janet Salter did something with a dial on a wall and turned the heat up. Not good, in Reacher's opinion. Warmth made people sleepy. But he didn't want her to freeze. He had read about old folks, dead in their homes, overcome by hypothermia.